my purpose this morning message would be just to say briefly about the last I am statement Jesus gave in the Gospel according to John, and to wind down all the I am, if I can able to do once more, and to encourage you once more that I am, when you go through, my prayer is it will be a blessing, and it won't be just a knowledge for us just to hear the message, but maybe it will be applied to our lives. John 15 is a rich chapter that takes place at the last gathering Jesus Christ had with his disciples. This is at the heart of the farewell disclosure. The last intimate word he leaves with his disciples before he was willingly on the way to the cross. Let us take to heart these life-giving words. But before we go into chapter 15, last 6 weeks we have been through six I am statements of Jesus Christ delivered. Five of those in his public ministry, and one to his disciples in a private message to them, out of those six. And this is the last one, seventh one. The last six statements were, we went through, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door of the sheep, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life. Those were the five statements he gave during his public ministry. And then he stopped. There was no more public ministry, and he wanted to concentrate his last two I am with his disciples. Last two I am. The main purpose of this I am statement Christ delivered were for the people to understand who exactly he was and why he came to this world. At that particular time, people were confused. Some were thinking that he was a good person. Some were thinking that he was a prophet. And some were thinking he was doing all he was doing with the demonic spirit. But the religious leaders made up their mind at that particular time. He was a threat. And they wanted to kill him. So by the end of his I am statement, the religious leaders were determined that they were going to kill him. And Christ himself knew that his time on earth coming to an end. And the last two statements he gave to his disciples, the sixth one was, I am, this one right here, I am the way, truth, and the life. Even his own disciples were confused. They were also not sure, even though they spent 3 years closely with him, still they were not sure. In 13th chapter, Peter, his closest disciple, asked, Lord, where are you going? a reply to the Christ message, he won't be there too long. He will be going to his father. Peter did not understand, and he said, Lord, where were you going? Where are you going? And Jesus Christ replied, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me later. And as expected, as impulsive Peter always was, Peter asked, how can I follow you now, right now? And also Thomas, another disciple, also was not sure. He said, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Replying to Thomas's statement, Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That was his sixth I am statement. And also Philip is another disciple, asked Christ, show us the Father, and that's enough for me. And Christ's reply was, have I been with you so long, yet you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So those were the six statements Christ made. And the last two were to his own disciples. So today, we are going to go through the last I am statement, that's the seventh one in Gospel according to John. Thank you, Janice. So well read reading this morning. So we thank God for the reading. So Jenny just now read John chapter 15 verses 1 to 11. I just want to make a brief summary of those verses. Here is the summary of what Jesus said in those 11 verses. I am the true vine. Branches cannot bear fruit unless they abide in the vine. You are the branches, he said, addressing to his disciples. That means he's addressing to us as well, even though at that particular time he was addressing to his disciples. Apart from me, you cannot bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Branches that do not bear fruit are burned. Therefore, abide in me, so that your prayers will be answered, so that you will bear much fruit, and thereby glorify the Father. Just let us go briefly to the context of this I am statement Christ made. Jesus spoke these words to the 11 disciples. Keep that in mind, not 12, 11. We are speaking at this time to the last statement for the 11 disciples, not the 12. Judas was not there. Just keep that in mind because it's important. Jesus spoke these words to the 11 disciples on the night before his crucifixion of the Last Supper on their way to Garden of Gethsemane. Judas already left them in the act of betraying Jesus. These words among Christ's final words, disciples, just before his death on the cross. First words in John 15, Jesus spoke. That's the last I am statement. I am the true vine, and my Father is the wine dresser. What did Jesus mean that he was the true vine? That means there must have been a false wine he was referring to. Who is the false wise? In the Old Testament, there are a lot of references, but the people of Israel, land of Israel, as the wise. God brought up Israel out of Egypt and planted in the land of Canaan. That's in Psalm 80. In Isaiah 7, we read, as Israel as vineyard, which God saved for personally. The Lord looks after it to yield good, sweet grapes. But instead of yielding good, sweet grapes, they produce sour grapes. And God was disappointed and removed his protection, allowed the vineyard to be trampled upon. God is interested in fruitfulness, which he was disappointed with the original wine that was land of Israel. That's why here Christ was saying, I am the true wine, saying that he is the true Israel, and through him we all can be fruitful. He expects his people to bear fruitful. That's God. God the Father is a wine dresser, and he sees it so that every branch bears good fruit. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes in order that there may be more fruit. This verse can sometimes can be misunderstanding. I mean that it says here, the wine, the branch does not bear fruit, can be taken away and thrown and burn. If that means that if we do not bear fruit, will we be cast out? Doesn't mean that way. Why I'm saying this is, Jesus Christ really saying this verse for the disciples who was not there at that particular time. That was Judas. I think we all have to understand, our salvation is not negotiable. Once we are saved for eternity. We are not perfect. We may not bear good fruit as God expects all the time from us. But once we are saved for eternity. We do not lose our salvation. That's what the Word of God says. But here, we all have to understand, when he says, the branch which do not bear fruit will be taken away. That means, some may say that they have accepted Christ as their Savior, but actually they do not. Just like Judas. Judas said he was a disciple, but actually he was not a disciple. So some of the so-called believers, they may say they are believers, but they never accepted Christ. It's outward. Only God knows. So those things will be cast away. That's what it means. So we got to remember, our salvation is not negotiable. Once we are saved, we are always saved. But those who say that they are saved, but actually they are not saved. They are acting. They are hypocrites. Those will fail. They are answerable. That's what it means. So we have to understand these words. And the main theme of this statement is abiding in Christ. Abide in me, he said. So if God expects fruitfulness and desires for his people to bear much fruit, then what is the key to fruitfulness? What must the branches do in order to bear fruit? Jesus gives the answer in verse 4 and 5. He illustrates this by pointing it to the relationship between the vine and its branches. Jesus is the vine. And disciples, that means us, are the branches. Fruitfulness does not flow from creativity, but flows from connectivity, connecting to the vine. We are the branches. The branches that bear fruit are the ones that are connected to the vine and are abide in vine. The word abide simply means to remind. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. However, those who do abide in Jesus and Him, these are the branches that fruit, the bear fruit and much fruit, and they will be always fruitful. God wants us to bear fruit, but what kind of fruit are we called to bear? We are called to bear the fruit of Christian character, Christ-like character, and Christ-like attitude. That is the fruitfulness. We have to bear fruits of Christ-like character and Christ-like conduct. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 describes the fruit produced in us by the Spirit Christ gives us. He is the source of our fruitfulness. On our own, we can't be fruitful. It is the fruit of Christian character. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we can see. This is the fruit of Spirit. Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So these are the qualities of Christian or Christ-like character. We are called to be, to bear fruit, the fruit of Christian character. And we are also called to bear the fruit of Christian conduct. Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 to 11 says, we are I think we also see the verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are created for God's good works to be exposed. We are created to perform good works. You see, Christian character produces Christian conduct. If we have the spirit of Christian living in us, then Christ will produce Christian conduct through us. Jesus not only tells us what God wants from us, He also describes what God does for us. What does God do for us? He does four things to help us produce harvest for Him. He grants us, He grabs us, He feeds us, He lifts us, and He prunes us. So what God does for us, that is firstly He grabs us to the vine, that is Christ. He grabs us to the vine of Christ. Then He feeds us. That is, He pumps spiritual life into us. Then He lifts us. That He lifts us when we are drooping down so that we can bear much fruit for the glory of God. In John 15, verse Jenny just read, Jesus says, every branch that bears fruit, the vine grower prunes to make it produce more fruit. Bible, praying and obeying. Abide in His word. That is, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, Jesus abides in His people through His word. So the first way we can abide in Christ is to keep on filling ourselves with the words of Christ Himself, words of God in the Bible. And abide in prayer. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's what Christ says. So abide in Christ happens through prayer. Abiding in obedience, reading His word and praying leads to obeying. What good is it to read His word or pray to Him if you are not going to obey Him? In verses 9 and 10, He says, obeying Him carries a greater reward than disobeying. So abiding in Christ means it's not just successful in the eyes of man, not just faithful to have sound doctrine, but totally depend on the person, Jesus Christ. Seeing Him bear fruit in and through us. So abiding in Christ is for us as believers. We can produce fruit for the glory of God only when we are abiding in Christ. The nature of the Father, God is I Am. In the Old Testament, we read many times God the Father describes Himself as I Am, that is, all-sufficient and self-existing God Himself. He may not be depending on anybody. He is self-sourcing Himself. So He is I Am God. The name of the Son, Christ, Jesus, He is I Am. That's what we use. Like Father, like Son. Everything Father provided for us, the Son also can provide. All sufficiency of the Father is the sufficiency of the Son. Jesus Christ is I Am God. Each of His I Am expressions illustrated that He is sufficient in me. Whatever need we have, all our needs, Christ can able to meet. He is fully God, fully human, and for sure He will be the coming King. As a man, He knows all about our struggles, trials, testing. As God, He is able to do something to meet all our trials, testing, temptations, and everything. Jesus is all we need. Jesus is sufficient to be King of Kings. One day, He will return to rule the world. But His reign will be one of peace and righteousness, where the Lion and the Lamb will lie together. Jesus is the bread to fully satisfy all our spiritual hunger. Jesus is the light to fully illuminate the darkened world. He is the door to God, God's blessing, and to heaven. He is the holy shepherd who gives His life for the sheep. He is sufficient to be our resurrection. His resurrection is guarantee of our own. We can and we will be with Him for eternity. If we need to find a way, Jesus is sufficient to find our way when we are lost or whenever we are lost. Jesus is sufficient to reveal all the truth to us. In Him, all the wisdom of God contained. If we need life, Jesus is sufficient to give us life, more than life, to give abundant life. If we need true one, Jesus is sufficient to sustain us throughout our life. Let us get to know I am God Jesus more intimately. Treasure Him. Enjoy Him. Jesus is all we need. We lack nothing when we have Jesus in our heart as our Savior, God and our Savior. I just would like to close with a small story just to enlighten Christ. It seems there was an expert art collector and a painter. His son was in the army. Suddenly, his son's friend came to tell the news to the father that his son died in the battle. But his son's friend departed handing a little painting of his own son to him. So the friend painted the son's portrait during his last meeting with him and hand over that to the father. And father himself was a big painter, he knows everything. But it was not a good painting, but he cherished it because that is the remembrance of his son. He put it in a very prominent place. And then he made a will. He had a lot of paintings painted by him and also collected paintings. He made a will. He died. And all the paintings were kept in the auction. Along with this little scrubby painting of his own son. So auctioneers started bidding. I mean, they asked for the bidding. Anyone who wants to bid. So everybody said, okay, there are a lot of paintings, very good paintings, expensive paintings. They said, let's start bidding. But he said, no. First we have to put the auction for the painting of the sun, even though it doesn't look that good. So one person said, well, I have only $10. Can I buy it? Then the auctioneer said, no, it's too less. How can you bid for $10? Then he said, no, that's all I have. I want to bid for $10. But the rest of the people said, oh, he said, all that crappy painting, you don't want that. But the auctioneer said, this is the one first needs to be auctioned. Then anyway, nobody came, only $10 to bid. He said, 1, 2, 3, that painting, that's yours for $10. Keep one. Then everybody came. Okay, let's auction the rest. Then he said, auction is finished. Then everybody said, what? The will is, whoever gets the painting of sun, they get everything. They get all the painting. So that whoever got the sun painting, they got it all. So when we have Christ, we got it all. We got everything what we need. So let us look and have Christ as our personal possession all the way. We thank God for you all. And let us have the Christ as our own personal possession. I just want to remind you once more.